Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebar in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebar, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen. Daf Samech Het. Today's daf has been dedicated anonymously in honor of Chalfon ben Regina Malka and Mazal Bat Esther. Hashem Alehem Yehiyu. Amen. Today's daf is being studied down in Ishmat Acham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther. Amen. We are starting on Samech Zayin Amud Bet. And we begin from Amar Mor. That is 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines from the bottom. And the Gemara says, Amar Mor, we had a statement. Zav vechol zav. The pasuk said, "Vishalechu min ha'machane kol sarua vechol zav vechol tamei la'nefesh." So in yesterday's daf, we made a derasha on what the vechol zav is coming to teach us. So the Gemara says, "Lerabot ba'al keri." It's coming to tell us that not only is a zav commanded to go outside the machane, meaning the zav must be outside two machanot. He must be outside machane Shekhinah and machane Leviyah. He can only stay in machane Yisrael. So to a baal keri, somebody that had a seminal discharge, also must go out of machane Shekhinah and Leviyah, and he can only stay in machane Yisrael. This is a proof, a support to Rabbi Yochanan. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan here makes two statements, non-related statements. Statement number one, Mechilot lo nitkadeshu. Mechilot are referring to the underground tunnels that were underneath the Azara. So the deen is that those tunnels do not have sanctification of the Azara, even though they're right underneath them. So that's the first deen he said. Ubaal keri, secondly, someone that is a baal keri, mishtaleya chutz l'shte ma'anot. He's sent out of two ma'anot. So you see, the Yohanan also has a support to his statement. Metive, the Gemara brings a question. Baal keri kemaga sheretz. Clearly the Gemara says that Baal Keri has a status of Magar Sheretz. Now if you remember, we learned in yesterday's daf that somebody that comes in contact with the Sheretz is someone similar to a Tameh Mit. And Tameh Mit, we said, only is banned from Mahaneh Shekhinah. But he's able to stay in Mahaneh Leviyah. So here it's saying that a Baal Keri is like a Tameh Sheretz, Magar Sheretz, and therefore the Chaura is telling us that he can even stay in Mahaneh Leviyah. It's a contradiction. So comes the Gemara and says, "My lav the Mahanotam." And when we're comparing Baal Keri to Magar Sheretz, it must be regarding their encampments. Meaning, just like a Magar Sheretz is in Mahaneh Leviyah, so too Baal Keri is in Mahaneh Leviyah. The Gemara says, "Lo, letumatam." No, it's coming to tell you they're similar in their laws of Tum'ah, meaning that just like a Baal Keri is only Tameh for one day, and he goes to the mikveh, so too Magar Sheretz is Tameh for one day. The Gemara says, Letum'atam? That's what it's comparing it to its Tum'ah. Hai Tum'at Erev Ketiveh, Vai Tum'at Erev Ketiveh. It's explicitly written by Baal Keri that he's only Tameh Ad Ha'arev. And it's written by Magar Sheretz explicitly that he's only Tameh Ad Ha'arev. So why do I need a bright to come and tell me that they're similar in the laws of their Tum'ah? Ela lav lemachanotam. And go back. Ela must be comparing them to their encampments. And it's telling us that what? The Baal Keri is like the Magar Sheretz, that he's only banned from Mahaneh Shekhinah, but he could stay in Mahaneh Leviyah. Lo le'olam le'tum'atam. Really, I'll tell you, no, it's comparing them to their laws of Tum'ah. That kamash ma'alan. You know what it's teaching us? The Baal Keri ke Magar Sheretz. That Baal Keri is like a Magar Sheretz. Ma Magar Sheretz metameh be'ones. A Baal Keri metameh be'ones. And it's coming to tell us that just like Magar Sheretz becomes tameh, even accidentally, meaning if the Sheretz fell on him, unwittingly, so to a Baal Keri also becomes Tameh Be'ones, meaning if he ate something that caused the Keri to come, doesn't matter, he's still going to be Tameh. So Gemara says, we have a question from a Braita, Bo'en Nida, somebody that cohabitates with a Nida. Now this is the end of this Braita, by the way. The Braita that just compared Baal Keri to Tumat Cheret, this is the end of this Braita. Bo'en Nida, somebody that cohabitates with a Nida. According to the law, that person becomes Tameh as well, and he becomes Tameh for 7 days. Ketameh Met. So he has a status of a Tameh Met. So the Gemara says, Lemay. What are we comparing a Bo'en Nida to a Tameh Met? So somebody that came in contact with corpse Tumah. If you're comparing it to the status of Tum'ah, meaning that just like a Tameh Met is Tameh for 7 days, so too a Bo'en Nida is Tameh for 7 days. Hai Tum'ah Shiv'ah Ketibbe, Ve'ai Tum'ah Shiv'ah Ketibbe. We don't need a Braita for that. It's explicitly written by Bo'en Nida that it's a 7 day Tum'ah, and by Tum'ah Met that it's a 7 day Tum'ah. Ela Lav Lemahanutam. Ela must be coming to tell me regarding their encampments, meaning that just like a Tameh Met is only banned from Mahane Shekhinah, and he could stay in Mahane Leviyah, so too a Bo'en Nida is only banned from Mahane Shekhinah, and he could stay in Mahane Leviyah. So that Gemara finishes its question. And from the fact that the second case in the Braita, the case of the Bo'en Nida, the Tameh Met is referring to the encampments, Havi Resha Nameh Lemahanutam. And therefore the Resha, meaning when the Braita compared a Zav with the Baal Keri, that's also referring to, when it compared a Tameh Sheretz to a Baal Keri, it's also referring to Machanutam. And therefore we have a question, because we know that a Tameh Sheretz is only banned from Mahane Shekhinah, but it could be in Mahane Leviyah. Therefore, to say Keri also is Mahane Leviyah. But you're telling us earlier that the Keri is really like a Zav that is only allowed to be in Mahane Yisrael. So the Gemara says, no. Midi Iriya? What's the comparison? Haikid Ita? Vaikid Ita? Just because they're in the same Braita, who says that they have to be talking about the same comparison? Meaning, I'll tell you that the comparison between Baal Keri and Zav, Baal Keri and Tumat Sheretz, is Le'anyan Tum'ah. Meaning that just like a Sheretz is Metameh Be'ones, so to Baal Keri is Metameh Be'ones. And the second part of the Braita is referring to Mahanot. Meaning, the comparison between a Bo'en Nida and a Tameh Met is, that just like a Tameh Met is outside the camp of Shekhinah, so to a Bo'en Nida. And therefore, they do not have to be consistent in the comparison. Hai kedi ite, ve'ai kedi ite. Baruch atah Adonai, Elohim HaMelech HaOlam, Shehakol Nehiyeh Baruch. Meti Be'ed Gemara brings a Braita. Metzora Hamur Mizav. A Metzora, a leper, is more stringent than a Zav. And we know that a Metzora is sent out of all three Machanot, even Mahane Yisrael, where a Zav is only sent out of two. The Zav Hamur Mitamemet. And we know for that matter, a Zav is more stringent than Tamemet, because Tamemet is only sent out of Mahane Shekhinah, it's one Mahane, where a Zav is sent out of two Mahanot, Mahane Shekhinah and Mahane Leviyah. So the Gemara makes, the Braita has a statement here. Yatsa Baal Keri, to the exclusion of a Baal Keri, Shetamemet Hamur Memenu, that a Tamemet is more stringent than it. Gemara will explain these words immediately. Ma yatsa, what does it mean to the exclusion of a Baal Keri that Tumat Met is more hamur than it? So it means like this. Ma hamur memenu. Hamur memenu. Ma yatsa, lav yatsa mechlal zav. Which means we're saying, must be the Tumat Keri yatsa. It left, it excluded. It excluded itself from what? From the status of a Zav. Uba lichlal Tameh Met. And it came into the status of a Tameh Met. Deha Tameh Met Hamur Mimenu. Which means, don't compare Baal Keri to Zav. Compare Baal Keri to Tumat Met. Now, Tumat Met is more stringent, obviously, than a Baal Keri. And still, it only is banned from Mahane Shekhinah. And therefore, Baal Keri will be compared to Tum'at Met and only banned from Machaneh Shekhinah. And therefore it's a question, because now we're saying that really the Tum'at Keri, we compare it to Ezav. So that's the question of this Braita. The Braita is mashma that what? To the exclusion of a Baal Keri that is Yatsa Baal Keri, meaning he left. He left where? He left his analogy towards Zav, and he goes to become like a Tum'at Met. And we know Tum'at Met is more stringent. And if Tum'at Met is only banned from one Maghane, certainly Keri, Baal Keri will only be banned from one. Umutar Maghane Leviya. And it's going to be Mutar Maghane Leviya. Question. Gemara says, lo. Yatsa mi Maghane Tamemet. V'nichnas lemachane zav, meaning when it says yatsa, it means Keri left the status of tumat met, and it entered the status of zav. Continue. Ve'afalgav de tamemet hamud mimenu, even though tamemet is more stringent, and if tamemet is only banned from one machane, lechaura Keri should also be. Why? Bemachane leviya. That you're allowed in Machane Leviya. So the Gemara says, still we compare it to Zav. We'd rather compare it to something that is similar to it. Zav and Keri are more similar because Tum'ah emanates from their body, as opposed to Tum'at Met. Which means, in logic, it makes sense to say that Keri is not going to be banned, Tum'at Keri is not going to be banned more than Tamemet. Because obviously Tamemet is more hamur. So that was the Gemara thinking to say. However, the Gemara says, you're right in logic, but we'd rather compare Keri to something that it is more similar to. Tum'at Keri is more similar to Tum'at Zav. And therefore it says, Yatsa Keri, which means we're going to exclude Tum'at Keri from Tum'at Met, even though it is more stringent than it, meaning Tum'at Met is more stringent than Keri, and we're going to compare it to Zav, and therefore ban him from two Mahanot, and he can only stay in Machane Yisrael. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tani Tana Kame de Rav Yitzhak Bar Avdimi. We have a Braita that was taught in front of Rav Yitzhak Bar Avdimi. The Pasuk says, V'yatsa el mechus lemachaneh. Now this is referring to a Baal Keri. What does it say? He will have to leave the camp. Which camp are we talking about? So the Gemara says, Zu machane shechina. That he has to leave at first, the first camp, meaning the Azara, machane shechina. Next Pasuk. Lo yavo el toka machane, so lo ta'ase. He cannot come into the machane. So the Gemara says, Zu machane leviya. This is referring to that he cannot enter machane leviya. Now that's master from the second pasuk that we're talking about already. He's outside machane leviya. He's already in machane Yisrael, and the pasuk is telling him, Lo yavo el toka machane. Which means you cannot leave Machane Yisrael and go into Machane Leviya. So the Gemara says, "Mikan the Baal Keri she yitzeh chus l'shtei machanot." For me, you see that he's got to go out to machanot, meaning he's got to go out Shechina and Leviya, and he ends up in Yisrael. So the Gemara says, "Amar le." So he said, "I think of Yitzhak Bar Avdimi said to the one that brought his Braita, Akati lo ayalte." Afikte, which is literally means you did not bring the Tameh into the Machane Leviya and you already have taken him out. Which means what the question of the Gemara is, it doesn't make any sense that to say the Pasuk is talking about that you already left Machane Leviya when he's still standing within it. Which means according to the first Pasuk, the Pasuk says he can't go into Machane Shechina. Okay, and what's the second Pasuk? The second Pasuk says that what? He cannot come in. So what did the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says, Lo yavo toka Machane zu Machane Leviya. He's still in Machane Leviya. Which means he never left to tell me that he can't go in. It doesn't make sense to learn the Pasukim like this. Mishnah Harina, we have a different text of the same question, basically. Akati lo afikte ayalte, you didn't remove him from Mahane Leviyah. And now you're telling him that he can't go back in, which means he didn't. He's still in Mahane Leviyah. So you're telling him, hey, you can't walk in the Mahane Leviyah. He's still standing in Mahane Leviyah. You didn't remove him from the Mahane Leviyah to tell him that he can't come back in. Basically, it's the same question, just with a different different version. Comes Gemara and says, "Ela ema." You know, you learn the pesukim mechutz lemachane. Zu Mahane Leviyah. The first pasuk says Veyatza Mechutz LaMachane. It's saying where he's got to go. Mechutz LaMachane Leviyah. So already he's in Mahane Yisrael. Lo Yavo El Toka Mahane. And when it says Lo Yavo, he cannot go into the Mahane. Zu Mahane Shechina. This is referring to Mahane Shechina. Now, what is the pasuk come to teach you? Zu Mahane Shechina. Which means, we're talking about a guy that was in Mahane Leviyah already. Okay? He became Tameh in Mahane Leviyah. So the first thing comes and tells us that he has to leave the camp. He has to go out. Now, so you shouldn't think, that where does he leave to? So therefore, lest he leave it for the camp of the Shekhinah, the Torah warns us that what? That he has to go out backwards. He's got to go into Mahane Yisrael. So then where's the Baal Kiri end up? In Mahane Yisrael, like we're saying, till this point, which is we're comparing it to a Zav. So again, the first Pasuk says, V'yatza. V'yatza, I mean, Mechutz Mahane, what does it say? The Pasuk says, V'yatza Mechutz Mahane, this is referring to Mahane Leviyah. And then the Pasuk says, Lo Yavo El Tocha Mahane, which means, now he's in Mahane Leviyah now. Right? So Mahane, where does he go? V'yatza. So he says, he doesn't go to Mahane Shekhinah, obviously. So where's he going to go? He has to go backwards. He has to go to Mahane Yisrael. I mean, the Chavra, it is an obvious point. Why would I think he should go to Mahane Shekhinah? Continues. Matkif La Ravina. So Ravina asks the question, Ema Idi V'idi L'Mahane Shekhinah? Who says, maybe both Pesukim are talking about where he's in Mahane Shekhinah. And the Torah is telling you that he cannot be in Mahane Shekhinah, meaning V'yatza. He's got to go out, it's Mitzvat Aseh, and it's telling us he cannot be in. Which means, the Pasuk also says, Lo Yavor Tocha Mahane. So maybe I have a Mitzvat Aseh, and a Mitzvat Lo Ta'aseh, telling us what? He cannot be in Mahane Shekhinah. So maybe that inside, Yashif La Rabina, Ema Idi V'idi L'Mahane Shekhinah, V'la'avor Alam Ba'aseh V'lo Ta'aseh. And maybe just tell me that there's an Aseh and a Lo Ta'aseh in Mahane Shekhinah. So the Gemara says, "Imken, if we're talking about the same Mahane the whole time, lemakra v'yatza el mechus l'Mahane lo yavo el toch," which means it should just have said he should go out of the Mahane, he should not go in. You don't have to say lo yavo toch haMahane again, because we're talking about the same camp, which means he should go out of the camp, do not go in. We're talking about the same camp. The Gemara says, "Hamachane lamali." Why does it have to say the word "machane" twice? Meaning, it says "v'yatza el mechutz l'machane ve'lo yavo el toch hamachane." Must be we're talking about "shema'mina liten lo machane acheret." Must be referring to two different machanot, which means he has to leave Machane Leviyah out to Machane Israel, and he cannot enter Machane Shekhinah. If it was only talking about Shekhinah the whole time, that he has to leave and he can't go into that Shekhinah, don't say the word Machane twice. The fact that it's Machane twice, it's banning him from two Machanot, from Shekhinah and Leviyah, and therefore we conclude that the Baal Keri must be banned and sent out to Machane Israel, and he cannot be in Leviyah, and called Sheken Shekhinah. Our Mishnah said, Mihui Kerabav. One of the things that we said that our Duhay Shabbat, when it comes to the Korban Pesach, is Mihui Kerabav. We'll see what this word means. Kerabav obviously means the intestines of the animal. You're doing some process to the intestines. So Gemara asks, My Mihui Kerabav. What is this Mihui Kerabav? Ravuna Amar Sheminakeban Basakin. They would pierce it, the intestines of the animal, with a knife, in order that all the liquefied waste that's inside the intestines comes out. and therefore it cleans the intestines. According to this explanation, the word mihui means like something that is dissolved or liquefied. Comes the second shita and says, Hiya barav amar shirka de me'aya de nafka agav duhaka de sakina. This refers to the putrid, he calls it putrid slime, that's in the moist intestines, that when you pierce it with a knife, it comes oozing out. Now, according to this, the word mihui means something that is putrid or deteriorated. So the mahloket over here is, what is mihui? Is mihui something that's liquefied? Or is mihui that something is disgusting or deteriorated? But everybody agrees that you're taking a knife and you're cleaning out the stuff, the waste that is in the intestines. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar bil Azar, my tamad hayabarav. What's the reason of hayabarav? Where do we have a source that the word mihui refers to something that is putrid? So the Gemara says, it's from a pasuk. Pasuk in Yeshaya. Nichtiv, the pasuk says, Veharbot, of the horbot mehim garim yochelu, and it says that the ruined homes of the fat ones, the horbot, horbot is the ruined homes of mehim, of the fat ones, garim yochelu, the residents will consume. Now, we're going to see where in this pasuk do you see that the word mehim refers to something that is putrid. So the Gemara says, my mashma, what's the derash over here? Kedem etargem Rabbi Yosef. The way Rabbi Yosef interpreted this pasuk in Yeshaya. V'nichsehen d'reshi'aya, the assets of the resha'im, tzadikaya yahsinun, the righteous will inherit. So therefore, when it says the pasuk, v'horbot mehim, who is mehim in this pasuk? Resha'im. What are the sha'im? Putrid. And therefore it says, there's going to come a time where the assets of the wicked are going to be given over to the tzaddikim. So therefore he refers to mihui kirabav, taking away the repellent insides of the intestines. Comes again what it says. Now once already we mentioned this pasuk in Yeshaya, we're going to continue giving now some drashot on these pasukim. It says in the beginning of this pasuk, V'ra'u kevasim ke dobram. It says, and the sheep will graze ke dobram. The sheep will graze ke dobram. What does this mean? Amar menashya bar Yirmiya amar rav kimdubar bam. Kedobram, meaning as it was stated by them. Okay, now what was stated by them? We will see. Maikim dubarbam. What was stated by these sheep that you're telling me they're going to graze? Amar Abaye. So Abaye said, Vehorbot mehim garim yochelu. Because we said in the end of that pasuk, that what? That the ruins of the fat ones, the way we interpreted it in the Pesukim, was that the assets of the wicked are going to be inherited by the Tzaddikim. Again, this is talking about, obviously, La'atid Lavo, right, in the future. That means, who's the Garim in this Pesuk? The Tzaddikim. I mean, the ones that are dwelling, those are the Tzaddikim. So therefore, it's coming to tell us that what? That's coming to tell us that the prosperity of the tzaddikim, and therefore when it says in the pasuk, v'ra'u kebasim, that the sheep are going to graze, kedobram, meaning is referring to the prosperity that the tzaddikim are going to enjoy, la'atid lavo, like it says at the end of the pasuk. The other pasuk says the tzaddikim are going to inherit all the assets of the resha'im. So here it says when the sheep are going to graze, that's a reference to Berachah, prosperity, like it was mentioned by them, that the Tzaddikim are going to enjoy Berachah. Amal Rava, Bishlama Iketiv, Chorbot, Kedika Amart. Which means, if the Pasuk would have said, Chorbot Mechim Garim Yochil, the end of that Pasuk, it would mean that what? It's a continuation of the first part of the Pasuk. Which means, it's telling us how the Tzaddikim are going to enjoy prosperity, and it's telling us how
chorbot that the assets of the tzaddikim are going to be is going to be given by the Rishayim.
However, can the kamar? That makes sense. Hashadchiv vechorbot milta ahariti kamar. The pasuk is vechorbot. It's much that at the beginning of the pasuk and the end of the pasuk are talking about two different things, which means do not make the pasuk all into one concept.
Obviously, the pasukim over here are talking about two separate situations because the vav separates them.
So, how does Rava explain it? El amar Rava, because Rav Hananel amar Rav. The amar Rav Hananel amar Rav, atidim sadikim shiyahayu tametim. The sadikim are destined to resurrect the dead. Ketiv ha'akar, because it says over here in Yeshaya, v'ra'u kevasim kedobram, and it says the sheep are going to graze as it is stated by them. Uchtibatam, and we have another pasuk that says, where's the other pasuk in Micha? Yir'u Bashan v'Gilad ki me'olam. That Bashan and Gilad will graze. Who's Bashan and Gilad? Bashan ze Elisha abam and Bashan. But it says the word Bashan is referring to the prophet Elisha that came from Bashan. Shne'emar, v'ya'nai v'shafat b'Bashan. It's Elisha ben Shafat. His father came from Bashan. So when they refer to the word Bashan, it means Elisha ha-Navi. And when it says, Uchtiv, and it says, Poor Eliyahu ben Shafat, I'm sorry, Poor Elisha ben Shafat, that's the prophet. Asher yatzak maim ayide Eliyahu, that poured water on his master, Eliyahu and Navi. Now, Gilad, who is Gilad referring to? Ze Eliyahu. Shere Emar, vayomer Eliyahu at Tishbi, metoshave Gilad. So therefore, the Pasuk says, regarding Yir'u Bashan v'Gilad. Bashan v'Gilad is a reference to what? Elisha and Navi and Eliyahu and Navi. What was common denominator between these two prophets? They both in their lives resurrected the dead. Elisha did it, as well as the Navi talks about, that he brought back the son of the Shunammite, and Eliyahu and Navi also was involved in the resurrection of the dead. And the Pasuk says over there by them, Yir'u, that they will graze. And the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Yir'u v'ra'u kebasim. And the kibasim, meaning that tzaddikim will graze as it is written, and it's written where? By the pasuk in Micha. And it says in Micha about the tzaddikim of Elisha and Eliyahu and that what? They resurrected the dead, meaning la'atid lavo, meaning after Mashiach comes, the tzaddikim are going to have the ability to resurrect the dead, as was stated. Mm-hmm. As was stated where? By another pasuk talks about the Bashan and the Gilad, that had the ability to raise the resurrected dead. So again, the sheep in this pasuk are referring to the righteous of Israel. Amar Bishmuel ben Nachman, Amar Rav Yonatan, atidim sadikim shiyahayu metim. The righteous people are destined one day to resurrect the dead. Shnei emar, as the pasuk says. Pasuk is in Zechariah. עוד ישבו זקנים וזקנות ברחובות ירושלים ואיש משענתו בידו מרוב ימים. There's going to come a day where old men and old ladies are going to sit in the streets of Jerusalem, and each man is going to carry a staff in his hand because of great age. וכתיב ושמתה משענתי על פני הנער. Now, if you remember in the story of Elisha, when Elisha resurrected the son of the Shunammite, he gave his servant Gehazi his staff. And he said, take this staff and wave it over the lad that had died and he will become resurrected. So you see that the staff is a representation to Tachiyat HaMetim. And what does it say in the future? That the Zekinim are going to be sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim, and each one's going to be holding a staff. And therefore that's an illusion that they're going to have the ability to make Tachiyat HaMetim. Ola Rameh, Ola brought a contradiction in Pesukim. Ketiv, one Pesuk says, Bila HaMavet LaNesach, that the La'atid Lavo in the future, death is going to be concealed forever. There is going to be no more death. Uchtiv ki anar bin me'ah shana yamut, that people are going to live long life. They live to 100 years. Make up your mind. Here you told me there's not going to be any more death. Now you tell me there's just going to be long life. So the Gemara says, Lakasha, can be Israel, can be Avdei Kochavim. Meaning when it comes to the Jewish people, there's not going to be any more death. However, when it comes to the Goyim, they're always still going to be subject to death. They might get long life, but they're going to be subject to death. What are the Goyim doing there? What are the Goyim don't deserve to have, the benefits of when the Mashiach comes? So the Gemara says, "Dichtiv ve'amedu zarim ve'ra'u sunchem u'bnei nechar ikarechem ve'chormechem." It says that what? The Goyim are going to tend to your flocks, and they're going to be your plowmen and vine dressers, which we're going to need them to work for us. So therefore the Goyim are going to be there, but they're still going to have death. Rav Chasdar brought a contradiction in Pesukim Ketiv. One Pesuk says, the Chofra HaLebana Ubosha HaHama, which means, it says the moon is going to be, he says over, abashed, which means buried, so to speak, and the sun ashamed. Implying that what? There's not going to be any more sun, and there's not going to be any more moon. Right. These celestial bodies are going to be non-existence. Uchtiv. But we have another pasuk that says, "Vehaya ora lebana k'ora hama." It says that the moonlight is going to be as powerful as the sun. The ora hama and the sun yeyesh shivatayim k'or shivatayim is going to be shivatayim, which means 49 times. Stronger than the 7 days that it normally lights, which means the light of the sun is going to be, take the 7 days of the week out and put all that light together of 7 days and times that by 49. So exactly. So that will come to 343 times greater the sun will be than it is now. That's the way that she makes the calculation. When it says Shivatayim, it's going to be 49. Shivatayim means 7 times 7. 7 square. To what? Ke'or Shivatayim. Of the 7 days of the week. So therefore it's 49 times 7. Right, which is 343. Wow. That's so comes the Gemara and has a question. If Hazdan says, make up your mind. You just told me one place, not going to be any more sun. Now you're telling me, no, the sun is going to be very powerful. Gemara says, Lakashia. Which is the afterlife, which comes after Mashiach. No sun, there's no moon. That's a spiritual existence. There's going to be an abundance of light from the sun. Comes We learned the Masechet Berachot, the Berachot of Shmuel. There really is not going to be any significant difference between this world and the days of Mashiach, except that the subjugation of the Goyim are going to be under us, Shemud Malchuyot, which means the Jewish people are going to have the Goyim under them. But otherwise, it's going to be Olam Kimin Hago Olech. So to me, the same moon, the same sun. So how do you learn this over here that the sun is going to be, that much greater? Yeah. So the Gemara says, according to Shmuel, you have to say Edi V'Edi Le'olam Abba. Really, both Pesukim at the sun and the moon are referring to Olam Abba. Berakasha, kan mahane shechina, kan mahane sadikim. Depends where you are. If you're in God's presence, mahane shechina, you don't need any light. The light is going to be the light of the shechina. But there's going to be a different section in Allah called mahane sadikim. That's the encampment of the righteous. So in that place over there, they're going to still need the light, and the light is going to be very illuminated. Rava brings a contradiction in Pesukim Ketiv. The Pasuk says, Ani Amit V'Ahayeh. God says, I put people to death, and I bring people to life. Uktiv, and it says, in the same Pasuk, Mahasti V'Ani Irpa. Which means God is the one that brings wounds, and He's the one that heals. Gemara says, Ashta Ahoye Mehayeh. You're telling me that he's able to bring life to the ones that are dead. Isn't it go without saying, can you bring healings to the ones that are wounded? Jeez, why does the Pasuk have to speak it out explicitly? So, Ma ani mehaye kemo shemahasti vaani erpa. Which is, the pasuk is saying like this: what I put to death, meaning ani amit vahaye, which means that God says I revive the very person who I caused to die, just like I healed the very person that I wounded. Which means it's talking about the same person. Which means that Borei Olam doesn't mean that God kills one person and brings one person to life, meaning that some person dies, another person is born. No, just like when you're healing somebody, you have to heal the person that has the wound. It's talking about the same guy. So just like when I heal, who do I heal? I can't heal somebody that's healthy. Obviously the healing is talking about somebody that has the wound already. So just like I heal the one that has the wound, I am going to give life to the one that has death, which is referring to the ability of Tehiyat Amiti. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Braita. Ani Amit V'Hayeh. Say Pasuk Yachol Mita Be'Had V'Hayim Be'Had Kedirish Ha'olam Noeg. So the Gemara says, oh, you think it's talking about two different people? Like the way of the world. People die, people live. And that's what Pasuk was saying. Ani amit, ani hayeh. So the Gemara says, Tamud omar, mahasti, v'ani irpa. The Pasuk says that I give the wound and I heal. Ma makar fu abeha, like we just said, just like the makkah, and the first one, the same person, afmita v'hayim, be'ehad, so too, the life that is given is to the same person that was dead. Mikan teshuva leomrim et tehayat amitim in the Torah. This is a refutation to all those that say that the resurrection of the dead, there's no source for it in the Torah. Here you see we have a pasuk that clearly says, ani amid v'hayeh, that's referring to what? The resurrection. Davar acher, another interpretation. First, when the time of Tehiyat HaMetim is going to come, the first stage is going to be resurrection. Whoever died will come back. Then anybody that died in this world, Chas V'Shalom, with a handicap, they were had a mental deficiency, Chas V'Shalom, or they had a certain type of impairment, after they're resurrected, then God says, I will heal all the wounds. That means everybody's going to come back first as they were, and then following that, everybody's going to be healed from all their ailments. Mahasti va'ani erpa. Okay, now we move to the Amud Bet. We learned in the Mishnah, Hekter Halabav, that one of the things that are Duhay Shabbat on Korban Pesach is the burning of the fats on the Mizbeach. On Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Tanya, we have a bright regarding the Korban Tamid. We know that the Korban Tamid was also brought on Shabbat. And we know also that its fats were burnt on the Mizbeach on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Bo'ur Eh, come and see, Kama Habibah Mitzvah B'Sha'ata. Come and see how beautiful and how beloved is a Mitzvah when it's done in its proper time. Why? According to the halakha, you're allowed to burn the fats and the limbs and the bones of the animal the entire night. Which means, if you brought the Korban Tamid on Shabbat, you don't have to burn those fats immediately on Shabbat. You could wait till Motzei Shabbat and burn them. So why are we burning them right away on Shabbat? Wait till Motzei Shabbat. Ve'en mamtinim le'machitashach. We don't wait till it gets dark. Why? Because Havivah Mitzvah B'Sha'ata. It's beloved when you do the Mitzvah in the proper time. And therefore we want to do the Mitzvah immediately and not wait until later. So there you see that principle. Paprashi, Keshirin Kol HaLayla. How do we know that you can burn the fats the whole night? Kedichtiv Al Mokeda Al HaMizbeach Kol HaLayla. You're right, the Mizbeach was fired up the whole night. V'yachol l'aktiran kol ha'layla. V'af al pichin en memtinin l'mat sh'tachshach ela mehalelin Shabbat alehen. Yaksh mehalel Shabbat. Burning is mehalel Shabbat. K'dichtiv olat Shabbat b'Shabbato al olat tamid alma haviv l'maher mitzvah b'sha'ata. So you see if it's a mitzvah to speed up the mitzvah in its proper time comes the Gemara Ketiv, Harkapato v'Havato. We learned in Al Mishnah that if the Korban Pesach had a Yabelet on it, Yabelet is a wart. So the Mishnah said that you're not allowed to take off the wart of the animal on Shabbat. We said you should have taken it off from before Shabbat. So comes the Gemara and says, Urminu, what are you talking about? We have a contradiction from the Mishnah in Erubin. Chotchin yabelet b'mikdash. Mishnah clearly said over there that in the Beit HaMikdash you're allowed to take off a yabelet on Shabbat, avalo b'medina, but not outside the Beit HaMikdash. Now, v'im b'chli, but if you're taking it with a kli, now taking it with a kli would be isur d'oraita, because that's the normal way of removing a wart, a yabelet, and that would be isur of gozez. That's a regular full-fledged melacha, kan bekan asur. So in both places, meaning in the Beit HaMikdash as well as the Medina, it's going to be asur, but we have a contradiction. Our Mishnah says what? En chotchim yabelet b'mikdash, and the Mishnah Erubim says, ken chotchim yabelet b'mikdash. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosef Halina. So we have two answers to this from the two rabbis. Had amar idi biyad. So one rabbi once said, both the Mishnah and Pesachim, and the Mishnah is talking about removing it with their hand. Ha bilaha, ha biyibesha. And one Mishnah is talking about a moist yabelet, and one is talking about a dry one. Meaning, a moist yabelet, that's what our Mishnah Pesachim is talking about. And they don't want you to take it off even biyad, which would be a shvut. Because it's not the normal way to take off a yabelet. Normally you take it off with a keli. So the hadush of the Mishnah is, it's a moist yabelet, take it off with an asur. Why? Because bottom line, since you could have done it before Shabbat, we do not allow you to even go and do an isud rabbanan where it could have been done from before. Oh, the Mishnah Erubin that said, mutar, that's about a dry yabelet. A dry yabelet, there's no isud at all. Because it's dry. Or you don't have to cut it even. You just touch it and what happens? It just crumbles in your hand. So therefore, the Mishnah of Rabim was really not being matir anything. It was just telling you that a dry yabelet with the hands would be mutar. That's one answer. The hadamar, another answer. Idi v'idi belaha. That why the both Mishnah Pesachim and Mishnah Erubin is talking about a moist yabelet. V'nakashah. Habiyad, habichli. Which means, the Mishnah over here by us, that said it's Asur, it was talking about because you're doing it with a keli. Yeah. Doing it with a keli, it's Isur deoraita. That's the normal way to take off a yabelet, that's Isur of gozez. The Mishnah in Yerubin, that said mutar, is talking about laha, it's moist, but you're doing it with your hand. And therefore it's only Isur Rabbanan, and that Mishnah is teaching us that since it's only a shvut, even though you could have done it before, and shvut the mikdash. Now the Gemara says, Ulman de Amar, habiyad habikli. According to the opinion that said, to make a hiluk, that the Mishnah in Pesachim was talking about keli, and the Mishnah in Erubin was talking about yad. My tama lo amar idi biyad, velakasha habelaha haibi beshah. How come he didn't learn like the other rabbi? To say that what? That both are talking about yad, and just make a difference in what type of wort it is. Why didn't he say that? What are you talking about? Yevesha is no she'ela. That's not considered chotchin yabelet. Because you just touch it and what happens? It crumbles. So therefore you have to go with the lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Erubin says chotchin yabelet. To tell me that it's talking about a dry yabelet, that the chotchin doesn't make sense. So therefore he opted to say they're both talking about laha, and the difference is if you did it biyad or with keli. Now we go to the other opinion. Ulman de amar idi biyad. Velakasha ha belaha ha biyibesha. According to the opinion, I explained the machloket, right? The stira, that it's talking about biyad, and we made the difference between lacha and yevesha. My tama lo amar idi v'idi belacha v'lakasha ha biyad ha bichli. How come you like the other rabbi that said they're both talking about lacha, make a difference between yad and keli? Amar lecha keli ha ketani hatam im bichli. Which is, if you look at the Mishnah Erubin, the Mishnah Erubin clearly says that if you remove the yabelet with a keli, it is asur, like we saw. It's asur ben de medina ben de mikdash. Now, if you're going to learn that our Mishnah Pesachim, that was osir,
is also referring to a keli, but we know that already from Masechet Erubin, which means you can't learn the, you cannot make the answer of the contradiction he's saying to say like this. The Mishnah Pesachim that's osir is bichli. Everything is talking about lah. The Mishnah Pesachim is kli, and the Mishnah Erubin is yad. Okay? Why? Because I don't need a Mishnah Pesachim to tell me that bichli is asur. Because the Mishnah Erubin clearly tells me ve'im bichli asur. So then the Mishnah Pesachim is redundant. Ela must be what? Habeha biyad. And one is talking about lah, and one is talking about yadish. That was his contention why he did not want to learn the Mishnah Pesachim bichli. Because it was already taught in Masechet Erubin. So the Gemara says, "Ve'idach." Now, what does the other rabbi do? "Hadiketani kli hacha pluktad Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yoshua talashmeina." Our Mishnah Pesachim told you clearly, and it's not redundant because it's coming to teach you that there's an opinion that holds that really, even with the keli, it'll be mutar. Because if you remember, Rabbi Eliezer and our Mishnah said mutar. What was Rabbi Eliezer's logic? Rabbi Eliezer came along and said, just like with Matir the Shechita of the Pesach, so therefore we should be Matir these Melachot as well. Rabbi Yoshua argued. So, if we just had Masechet Erubin, Masechet Erubin says, V'im Bekli, Asur. That sounds like going to everybody. So the Mishnah Pesachim has to come and tell you here, Tanakh Kama says, if you did a Yabel with a Kli in the Beit HaMikdash, Asur. But the Bidya is, it holds Mutar. So therefore, you needed to discuss Kili again in Masechet Pesachim to teach me that there's an opinion that says Mutar. That why? That even though you could have done it before Shabbat, the Bidya is, it says something that's Makhshire Mitzvah that cannot be done, or that even can be done. For example, if you remember, the Bina Ezer Shita was in Masechet Shabbat, you can bring the knife of the Milah into the Shut Rabim on Shabbat to the Milah, even though you could have done it before. The Bina Ezer Shita too, he was Makhshire Mitzvah that could have been done before, can be done on. So therefore, the Hadush of the Mishnah is telling me that, yeah, Tanakh Kamas is clear as Asur. The Bina Ezer Matir. Why? Because even though it's a Makhshir Mitzvah to prepare the Qurban, and it could have been done before, mutar to do it on Shabbat. So they've basically, there's two ways to answer the stira between Masechet Erubin and Masechet Pesachim. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer's claim was like this. Tanakama said, carrying the Qurban Pesach to the Beit HaMikdash on Shabbat is going to be Asur. Why? Because you could have done it before. Rabbi Eliezer came along and said, what are you talking about? If Shechita, which is an Isur De'oraita, is Doche Shabbat, so certainly these Isurei D'Rabbanans are going to be Doche the Shabbat. Rabbi Yoshua came along and said, what are you talking about? Yom Tov Yochiyah. Yom Tov, where Shechita is permissible, but still Isu De'oraita is forbidden. Isu De'rabbanan, I'm sorry, is forbidden. Meaning, on Yom Tov, could you make Shechita? Yes. Could you make Bishul? Yes, you can make Bishul on Yom Tov. Those are two Isu De'oraita that are mutar on Yom Tov. Can I carry the animal from outside the Tchum on Yom Tov?
No.
No. So you see what? Your logic, Rabbi Eliezer, doesn't hold up. Your logic was what? Well, if Shechita is mutar on Shabbat of Pesach, certainly carrying him is only suited a banan. To be Yoshua comes along and says, what are you talking about? Yom Tov Yochiyah. Yom Tov, where you can do the Isudo Raitas, but the rabbinical things that you could have done from before
still
remain Isur. What was Rabbi Eliezer's contention to be Yoshua? What are you talking about? Yom Tov is you bring me the shoot? That's voluntary. There's not a mitzvah on Yom Tov. I agree. On Yom Tov could be Asur, because why? There's no mitzvah to bring an animal on Yom Tov and slaughter it. Mashekin Pesach. It's mitzvah to bring Korban Pesach. So therefore, just like the Shaita is mutar, I'll tell you, the carrying it is mutar, etc. That was the contention Rabbi Eliezer had to Rabbi Yoshua. It's a good question. So what does Rabbi Yoshua must hold? The Gemara doesn't say Rabbi Yoshua must hold
that Simchat Yom Tov is also a Deoraita. It's a mitzvah. And therefore his comparison was just like on Yom Tov, where it's a mitzvah to eat and have meat. And what? Still we only allowed Shechitan Bishul. Because they couldn't only have been done today, but things that could have been done from yesterday, like carrying it out, so we don't allow. So therefore his analogy was good to Qurban Pesach, which is also a mitzvah. So you have to say that Yeshua knew what he was talking about. His analogy was clear, because he held Simchat Yom Tov is a mitzvah. So that's what Gemara says. Gemara says, Yeshua le'tameh, de'amar, Simchat Yom Tov, nameh mitzvahi. De'tanya, we have a bright. Rabbi Eliezer omer, en lo le'adam b'yom tov, ela o ochel v'shote, o yoshev v'shone. Rabbi Eliezer says, listen, Yom Tov, it's one of two things you can do on Yom Tov. Either you sit and eat all day, or you learn all day long. Rabbi Yeshua omer, halkehu. Rabbi Yeshua says, no. You split it. You divide the day. Hatzion la'achila v'shtiya. Half of the day is supposed to be eating and drinking. V'hatzion le'bet ha'midrash. And the other half of Yom Tov, what are you supposed to be? You're supposed to be in the Beit Midrash learning. And both rabbis, the Rabbi Eliezer, Yeshua, learned from the same pasuk. One pasuk is Atzeret LaShem Elohecha. Which the holiday is for God. We have another pasuk that says Atzeret Tiyeh Lachem. That the holiday is to you. The Beit Eliezer Savar O Kulo LaShem O Kulo Lachem. I mean, the pasuk is giving you an option, but whatever option you pick, the extreme. Either it's all for God or it's all for you. The Rabbi Yehoshua Savar Halkehu. He says, nah, split it. Hatsio Lashem, the Hatsio Lachem. So therefore you see the Rabbi Yehoshua holds every hag has what? An element of Lachem. And the Torah is telling you there's a mitzvah. And therefore he comes along with his analogy is very, very good. Amar Rabbi El Azar. Hakol Modim Ba'atzeret. Everybody agrees on Shavuot, meaning even the Rabbi Eliezer that says that on the Yamim Tovim, there's all Hashem, he agrees that on Shavuot, Teba'ina Namelachim. That on Shavuot, you have to have personal enjoyment and eat and drink. Which is even a belief, that an extreme Shita, that on other Yamim Tovim, it's possible to be Kulo Lashem, he says, but on Shavuot, it has to be partial Lachim. Why? My Tama, Yom Shinata Bo Torahu. That's the day the Torah was given. What do you mean? You say the opposite. Huh? That you should be learning Torah the whole time. No, you have to celebrate that what? That you received the Torah. If a person doesn't celebrate that he received the Torah with a feast and eating and drinking, it shows as if he's not happy. So therefore, since we received such a matana Torah, you have to celebrate physically eating and drinking on Shavuot. Yeah. Rava, Amar Rava. Rava said, Hakol modim b'Shabbat. Shabbat as well. You have to have lachem. My ta'ama v'karat al Shabbat onig. Rav says onig. You have to have pleasure on Shabbat. Amar Rav Yosef akol modim bepurim. Everybody agrees on Purim. The ma'ina name lachem. Then you also have to have lachem. My ta'ama yemei mishtev is v'haketiv. Because the Megillah says the days of mishtev, parties and happiness. More bered ravina. Kula shata habayati b'tarita. The whole year, more bered ravina would fast. Levar ma'atzarta, except for Shavuot, upuria, and Purim, umale yomad kippure, and erev yom kippurim. Atzeret, why did he eat on Shavuot? Yom shinatna bo Torah. That's the day we got the Torah. You have to celebrate. Puria, Purim, yemei mishtev v'simcha ketiv. Ma'ale yomad kippure, why did he eat on erev yom kippurim? Detani chaya bara bedifti, because we have a brayta and the name of chaya bara. Ve'initem et nafshotechem b'tishah lachodesh. It says in the pasuk regarding yom kippur that you have to fast and afflict yourself on the ninth of the month. So the Gemara says v'chi b'tishah mitani. What do you mean? Do we fast on the ninth of the month? V'halo ba'asiri mitanin. We actually fast on the 10th. What do you mean you should afflict yourself on the 9th? Ela lomar lecha, kol ha'ochel v'shote b'tishah bo, anybody that eats and drinks on the 9th of Tishri, ma'ale alav ha'katuv ki'ilu mit'aneh tishri v'asiri.
which is considered as if he fasted both the 9th and the 10th. V'ayinitem et nafshot ekem b'tisha'al ha'chodesh, which is the eating on the 9th of Erev Kippur is counted as a fast. Rav Yosef, so that's why he would eat on Erev Kippur, because you have a source already from the Torah that says the mitzvah.
Rav Yosef, b'yoma da'atzarta,
Rabbi Yosef, on the day of Shavuot,
Amari would say, Avdi li aglat telta.
Make for me aglat telta, which is a calf that is the third from the womb. That's the tastiest. The third one that comes out is the most delicious. I call it aglat telta. Or the third of its growth.
Correct. Amari said, Ilo hayoma.
If it wasn't for this day of Shavuot,
the kagarim that caused me
To have the Torah and learn it,
kama Yosef ika beshuka.
How many Yosefs would be in the marketplace? Which means, what he's trying to say in a way that we would understand it, which means he would say as if it wasn't for the Torah, I'd be just another Yosef. Which means, how many Yosefs are in the marketplace? What makes me different than every other Yosef? The explanation is the Torah. So therefore today, he has to celebrate. He would eat something very, very, very special, very hashub, iglat telta. He said, look at this, I owe everything to the Torah. If it wasn't for the Torah, I'd be just like another Yosef in the marketplace.
Rav Sheshat, kol teltin yomin, every 30 days, mehader le talmudeh.
He would review all his learning. Every 30 days he'd review the whole
Torah.
And he would stand by the threshold of the door on that 30th day after he would finish. The
Amar, he would say, Hadai nafshai,
which means my spirit or my soul is happy.
Hadai nafshai,
my spirit is happy.
Lecha karae, lecha tanae.
He says, for you I have read, for you I have studied. Which means, he would stand by the door, the Ben Ish Chai explains, because the door symbolizes movement, because it's by the hinge, right? It constantly moves back and forth. So he's trying to say that to be great in Torah, you have to review and you have to apply yourself like a door that's on its hinge, that's constantly moving. However, once the door goes off the hinge, it's very hard to move the door at all. So then he would go to the threshold and stand over there where the door was moving and say, oh, look how great it is, my spirit is happy. I benefited myself because I have studied the Torah and I have reviewed it. Literally, I'll give you the words of what he was saying. Literally, he says, rejoice my soul, for you have I read, for you have I studied. So comes the Gemara and says, Ini, which means, it's Masma from Rav Sheshat, that he was happy because he was the sole beneficiary of his learning. I'm happy, I benefited. Gemara says, that's not so. The Amar be El Azad, El Male Torah, Lunit Kaimu Shamayim Ba'aris. If it wasn't for the Torah, there would not be the existence of the heavens and the earth. If it wasn't for the covenant that we study day and night, which is the Torah that says, the statutes of the heaven and the earth would not possibly exist. So therefore, what is Rav Sheshat saying that the benefit is all his? The benefit is really to the entire world.
Kevra says, Me'ikara ki avid inish adate tenafshe ka avid.
Which is when a person undertakes Torah study, first he has himself in mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not thinking about the global impact. And after that, then already the world is benefiting from it as such. Now, that is the sugya terem. I just want to read, go back for a second, and just read one important rashi that we have to make a point. Let's go to the Rashi, please. Habiyad. All the way back up, it is on the 4th, 5th, 6th line. If you remember, we were trying to reconcile a Mishnah in Pesachim that was Oser Hatichat Shabelet, and a Mishnah Pesachim that was Matir Hatichat Shabelet. I'm sorry, Mishnah Erubin that was Matir Hatichat Shabelet. And we answered, Habiyad. One answer was, both are talking about my hand, and the difference is one is moist, in Pesachim it's moist, therefore it's Asur, and in Eruvin it's talking about it's dry. dry is putar.
Dashi. Shechotcha biyado velo besakin de'en ba'ela mishum shevut.
Right?
When you do it with your hand, it's only sud rabbanan. Ve'afidu achi asud belaha. And even still, in the Mishnah Pesach, it's asur if it's moist.
Since you could have done it
yesterday,
that's the logic of why the Mishnah Pesach would be osir. And
Erubin
is talking about where it's dry.
The afilu shvut leka.
It's not even isur shvut.
Uchrabi Eliezer lo matzil ukma lahid Erubin.
Which is now she has a question. Why don't you just say very simply? We know in our Mishnah Pesach, the Bili Eliezer clearly said hatichat jabilit is mutar. So why don't you just say the Mishnah Erubin that said hatichat jabilit is mutar is going like the Bili Eliezer? Just say hatarakama, the Bili Eliezer. Very simple answer.
He says, "V'neimar the Bili Eliezeri da'amar b'matnikin dochin mishum abdurochin?" Question mark. Mishum diktani hatam vi'i bechli davi melacha gemura kan vekan asur.
Because clearly in Eruvin it said that if you're using a keli, it is indeed asur.
Vi'i Rabbi Eliezeri ha'amar machshire mitzvah dochinet haShabbat afidu bemelacha gemura.
Which is Rabbi Eliezer holds even on isur deoraita, even if you could have done it before Shabbat, it's mutar. Even with a keli. Just like he's matit to carry the milah knife in the Rishut Rabin on Shabbat, even though you could have bought it before. So you can't say the Mishnah Erubin is a Bili Ezer, because the Mishnah clearly says Ve'im Bechli Asur. What the Bili Ezer? Kli would be Mutar. So therefore you could not have given that
answer. As she continues and says, Tetan the Bili Ezer omed Im lo evi Kli me'erib Shabbat mevio
me'shabbat.
Good. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen. Ve'amen.